Finnegan delivers. And Benson swings. Fly ball pretty well hit to center. Robles back at the wall. Looks up. It's gone. Will Benson has tied it up with a home run into the Reds' bullpen.
You have got to be kidding me. Oh, my goodness.
The 0-1. This ball's hammered to left. There it goes. Gone! Christian Encarnacion Strand's first hit of 2024 is a walk-off homer.
Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Monday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Well, coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube had a great time on Sunday night celebrating the Reds' win. But first, let's run down exactly how things happened on Sunday afternoon. Reds and Nationals, the rubber game of the three-game series. Nick Martinez made his Cincinnati Reds debut. There was no score going into the third inning. Nick Martinez then gave up a solo home run to C.J. Abrams, and it was certainly not a cheap one. 429 feet, 107 off the bat. That quickly put the Nats up 1-0. But the Reds responded in the bottom of the third. Spencer Steer and Nick Martini walked, and then an RBI groundout from Jonathan India tied the game up at 1. Will Benson had an RBI double to make it 2-1 Reds. Then the Reds picked up another run in the fourth inning on an Ellie De La Cruz triple and a Spencer Steer single to make it 3-1. Martinez would unfortunately give up three singles in the top of the fifth, and the Nats tied it up at 3. Martinez's day would be done after 5. 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, 1 home run, his final line in his Reds debut. The Reds would ground into double plays in the 5th, 6th, and 7th innings. And then in the top of the 7th inning, Buck Farmer came in, and he gave up a leadoff home run to Trey Lipscomb to make it a 4-3 game for the Nats in front. It was a tough home run for Farmer, just out of the reach of Will Benson playing center field on Sunday. It was actually only a home run at Great American Ballpark, Dodger Stadium, and Angel Stadium, according to StatCast, and it was the first career home run for Lipscomb. Farmer would end up loading the bases in that inning, but somehow worked his way out of it without any further damage when he struck out Keibert Ruiz. In the top of the 8th, TJ Antone came in, and he just didn't have it. He gave up a double and a pair of walks to load the bases. Fernando Cruz came in, did as good of a job as he could. He got out of the inning, only allowing a sac fly RBI, but it was 5-3 Nats. And that put us into the bottom of the 9th. Jonathan India came to the plate, 2 outs. Bases empty, Reds down 5-3, and Jonathan India had a 10-pitch at-bat, which included a ball that rolled down the third baseline. Looked like it was going to be an easy hit, but it actually rolled foul at the last second. India somehow rebounded and doubled down the left field line on pitch number 10, and then that brought Will Benson to the plate, giving him a chance, and he made the Nats pay. He smoked a first-pitch splitter 411 feet, out of the park to center field, tied the game up at 5, and then Christian Encarnacion Strand stepped to the plate. CES was 0-for-12 on the young season and had already grounded into a pair of double plays in this game on Sunday, but he took all of his frustration out on an 0-1 splitter, hitting the ball a new career best 113 miles off the bat. He hit it out of the park to left. Reds win 6-5. And improved to 2-1 on the season. And here's what Christian Encarnacion Strand had to say right after the game.
Back to your first hit. That's a long ball. I know maybe you were pressing a little bit, but that's a good way to get on the board.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good way to get on the board. Just got to stick with the same plan regardless of the result, and it happened to be a good one then, I bet.
What is the feeling right now? You guys were almost left for dead. You're down to your last out right there.
Almost doesn't count. Almost doesn't count, especially with our team.
Third walk-off of your career, and we're talking about a young career.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, I don't know how to explain. It's just a good feeling to help the boys win.
Here's Will Benson post-game talking about his approach this season.
You learned a lot last year. Did you learn anything about specifically starting strong and how to start a season?
That's a great question. I think the thing that I learned a lot was from the mental side. Obviously didn't have the best start last year. You know, being grateful for that moment and learning that one pitch at a time is going to be my best friend, and controlling my controllables. And that those are things that I tried to establish and work on, especially during spring training. And thankfully I've been able to execute up to this point.
Obviously, you almost had the catch of the game.
Oh my God, yeah.
In the seventh inning. As you're rounding the bases, I'm just curious, do you think about, I got that one back?
Not necessarily. I knew, though, I had left that one on the table. I had left that strikeout at bat. I left that one on the table. And I remember telling Santiago, I just want one more. I really, just give me one more. So I can work on my game. You know, because that's a situation that's going to come up a lot. And, again, it came up in my last at bat. So it's like, let me get another opportunity to impact this game. And that's kind of how that was. I wasn't thinking too deep about it, though.
On that most famous home run, did you get a piece of it?
Yes, sadly. Yeah, I did. I mean, gratefully, I had a great jump on it, made a great read. The timing of the jump was great. I literally just missed it. I wish I could explain it more.
It looked like you were rounding third base. You
like
a kiss or something?
No, I had this thing with JR.
It's the JR.
Yeah, it's a JR, just a silent assassin. That's all it is.
What, coming back to the NBA, that seems to really just, I don't know, personify Jonathan India and what he means for this team. What does Jonathan India mean for this team beyond what's, I guess it's part of what's on the field, but it's beyond that?
Definitely. I mean, his whole aura is, you know, leader. We had this conversation on some of those rides in spring training, just understanding he's a natural leader. And you can see just by the way he plays and how hard he plays, and those things ooze into the team. I mean, I've said that before. You know, it's incredible to watch him play, the heart that he plays with, you know, and those are things, again, we talked about, you know, in spring training, where it's, you know, he's looking at, obviously, him having to adjust with his roles and do different things. He said he's going to be simply not necessarily worried about being a leader. And I said, Jonathan, you know, you alone yourself is that, bro. So you keep doing you, and we'll follow suit.
It's only the third game, obviously, Will, but can a game like this define an early part of the season?
I think it's one where you nail in the head, like, hey, this is who we are as a unit. And this is how we play the game. But we won't give in on any circumstance or score, run, or anything. You know, and to have, you know, this opportunity be tested this early, I think is a great thing. Because, again, it just further solidifies this is how we're going to play for the rest of the year.
You've been in situations like Jonathan was in at that last at bat. How difficult is that to keep fighting off pitch after pitch to stay alive?
Oh, God, it's incredible. I mean, it's a very hard task to do, understanding, like, hey, this is a guy who throws 99 with a split. So you really got to be dialed in, especially being ready to hit his hardest pitch. obviously, that is an absolute incredible at bat, where, you know, it takes real mental fortitude and longevity. Obviously, that's 10 pitch at bat. So you got to hold on tight for as long as you can. And he did an amazing job of that.
Here's Jonathan India on his epic at bat that really got the entire Reds rally started.
Yeah, he's one of the best closers, I think, in the game. And, you know, he throws hard, you know, so I was just battling, trying to get my pitch. You know, he kept throwing it high and away, high and in. It just wasn't giving me anything to hit. Even the pitch I hit was a tough pitch to hit. So, you know, I just was battling. And I wanted it bad for my team. I wanted to get on for my team. And, you know, that's what I did.
You hit that little cover. Almost like,
yeah.
Hey, this is
going to
go for me.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was digging. I was running as hard as I could down there. And, yeah, I thought I was going to be the hit, and I'm on for my team, and let's make something happen. So
then you have to kind of regroup, right?
Yeah, I was tired. It's pretty tiring running down there like that. I think I felt another one off after that, too. And I took time. I was like, you know, I need my time here. Let me catch my breath, and then I got my hit. So, that's one of my best at-bats I've had, I think, in my career. Just mentally grinding and getting through that was fun.
I mean, we were in here, and both Will and Christian, they hit home runs.
Yeah.
And Christian says, that's as good as it gets, Jonathan's at bat.
Yeah. No, yeah, thank you. I mean, and I was telling Christian the whole day today, you know, he was struggling, and I said, hey, dude, your time's coming, bro. Like, this struggle, it's 12 at-bats. You know, you're going to get something. You're going to do something crazy for our team, and it's coming. Just keep the course. Stay focused on every at-bat, and he did. And I was like, dude, I told you. I told you it was going to come up to you, and it happened.
It's like 66 big league games, and that's 3 walk-offs.
Yeah, that's sick, right? That's sick. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do.
Does it mean something to you to be a leadoff hitter?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I just got to get on for my team. That's my motto when I'm hitting. You know, take pitches, work the count, work the at bat. You know, be like a pesky guy in there, and you know, that's what my motto is. Always when I'm at the plate. So, yeah, that's definitely a good feeling to get on for my team there, down 2 outs.
You thought much about how roll up in the air, whatever. Yeah, here you are, second base, bat, leadoff, like.
Not really. You know, I accepted that role in spring training, and. You know, I thought I was still going to be an everyday player, you know, playing multiple positions, and wherever I hit in the lineup, I was going to do my thing. So, yeah, I'm just grateful to be in this position again and take advantage of it.
You said you were tired after the hit. Yeah. You got to imagine Finnegan was probably tired.
Yeah, he was.
How much helps Indy get in and see
him? For sure, yeah. I think I got him pretty good. I think it was a 10-pitch at bat or something like that. He was throwing a lot of fastballs, so he was letting it eat. So yeah, that definitely shows, you know, first pitch Benson swings, you know, homer, and then Sess, I think, is first pitch.
So, we talked about bat at bat and talked about your leadership, and that's a perfect example of what you bring to this squad leadership-wise. What does that mean to you when you've got these players that notice and appreciate what you're doing out there?
No, it means the world to me. You know, I love every guy on this team. I say it every time. This is a true clubhouse. You know, there's no cliques. You know, we're all one, and we all get along. And you know, to really, you know, be able to show myself like that, and they see it. It's an unbelievable feeling, and I'm grateful for that. And you know, I will continue to play like that. You know, and I want that to feed into my teammates, because that's how Reds baseball is.
And lastly, here's Reds manager David Bell.
There's always momentum. There's no question, and it matters. And it's amazing how much better it feels to win a game. And to your point, yeah, it all matters, and it can carry over. But it's just the best playing games like that. When you can, you know, when no matter what's happening, you can continue to compete. Whether it's, you know, in the fifth inning, Nick Martinez getting out of a jam, or Fernando Cruz coming in and unbelievable, just pitching out of like an impossible situation, only allowing the one run. You know, that gave us an opportunity and put us in position. And then, of course, Will Benson, Christian, I mean, huge hits, obviously, but it really started with the Jonathan India at bat. And it just takes a lot of toughness. It also takes a lot of belief in your teammates, because to put forth that amount of energy when you're down to your final out, you're two runs away, like when you believe if you can get on base, it's possible, and you give everything you have right there and believe it can happen. It's so much fun playing that way, and it definitely can lead to bigger things.
For Will Benson, you obviously have a lot of faith in him, moving him to the top of the order. Is this kind of what you expect from him?
Well, he's earned it. I mean, he's worked incredibly hard, and most impressively, like, just the attitude through everything that he's been through. Like, he just continues to do what he can to become the best player he can be, and he doesn't worry about anything else. And he's doing it for all the right reasons, to help us win, and he believes in himself. And I think we're just starting to see what Will's capable of, and he's playing great. So, you know, it's nothing I did. It's everything that Will did, you know, to put himself in position to be a big part of our lineup wherever he hits.
Christian was 0-for before that. Pretty good way to break out.
Yeah, I mean, Christian, talk about believing in himself as a hitter. I mean, there's no question he does. So he's always, no matter what's happening, he's always capable of coming up with a big hit, big at bat. And with his power, you know, that's possible right there. So just great swings, and you know, when you're able to do it with your back against the wall like that and continue to grind out at bats, it sure is a lot of fun to be a part of.
Well, our deep drive of the game was Will Benson's 2-run home run that went 411 feet, the furthest ball hit by a Red on Sunday, 102.9 off the bat. And our deep drive of the day is sponsored by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader and renewable commodities for biofuels production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, taking a look around the National League Central, it was a good thing the Reds came back on Sunday because the Pirates won 9-7 in 10 innings to complete a four-game sweep on the road against the Marlins. The Brewers, they won 4-1 to complete a three-game sweep on the road against the Mets. The Cubs won and the Cardinals lost. So, if you're scoreboard watching early, as you know I am, the Pirates, they lead the way in the NL Central. They're 4-0, Brewers 3-0, Reds 2-1, Cubs 1-2, and you hate to see it, the Cardinals have started the season 1-3. All right, well, here is myself and Trace Fowler talking about the incredible win for the Reds on Sunday. Stay tuned at the end. I'll tell you a little bit more about the Reds' upcoming series against the Philadelphia Phillies.
I'll tell you right now, only on God's day, and by God's day, I mean Jesus' day, are we maybe thankful, this whole system that I have down here, thankful that we weren't on the air, because it would have been ruined. There would have been beverages, pilsners all over the place. I was watching it in real time, obviously, like probably all of us. And I just want to say there's one guy that started it all, and that was Jonathan India. The leader might not be able to play a lick of second base, but God, by God, he is a leader, and I respect the hell out of him. And I do appreciate everything that he did to start that ninth inning off. So the captain did it. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about the box score. We'll talk about it all on this edition of a winning edition of Chatterbox Reds. Nick, glad to see you. You look great on this Easter Sunday. Neither one of us came in with pastels. I think that's how you say it. I mean, it might be something else. I don't know at this point, but shame on us for that. But what a lovely Easter Sunday it has been.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at first I was a little bummed that we weren't live on the air for that incredible ninth inning. But you know what? I think because we made an attempt to be good fathers, to be good husbands, the Cincinnati Reds and the baseball gods rewarded us on this Easter Sunday. So I don't think without our commitment, it happens.
All right, let's get right into it. There's a lot to talk about to a certain extent here. We certainly had half the Reds fan base. The season was over, if we're being honest. Rightfully understood to a certain extent for the overreactor group. You're playing the Nationals at home, and you lose the series, coupled by the fact that you lost a game yesterday that you felt like you should have probably won because you played horribly and you still had chances to win. And then you fast forward to today, and I said something yesterday, Nick, that hopefully at the end of the season, you can look back and they all balance themselves out. You know, you win some games you're not supposed to. You lose some games that you probably should have won. Well, we're 1-1. We're 1-1, Nick.
I actually think that yesterday didn't deserve to win. I thought the defense was atrocious yesterday. I thought there was plenty of chances they didn't take. I actually thought today they deserved to win more. If you look at like expected stats, like the Reds' expected batting average was like 100 points higher than the Nationals. They had a lot of hard hits against Irvin that just didn't fall. Grounded with a lot of double plays. And so it is kind of one of those things that evens it out. But I was ready. I was firing, ready to come with all the expected stats tonight and ready to roll. But nonetheless, the Phillies got done. I got to be honest, Trace. I almost am more relieved that the Reds won just for the sheer fan base than like my actual enjoyment. I don't know if that's a me problem, but that's kind of how I felt.
No, I mean, listen, when you do a show like this, right, and you're here every single day, the last thing you want to do is start the season off losing to the Nationals, 2 of 3. And, you know, whether it would make or break the year, I don't know. But ultimately, the vibes would have been incredibly low without question. But that's not what happened. So, you know what? There was something I heard today at the end of the game by a guy. Its first name starts with Christian. And that hasn't been lost on me. But Encarnacion Strand said at the end of the game, what did he say? He said, almost doesn't count. I think that's the phrase he used. Almost doesn't count. So even though they almost lost, it doesn't matter. And we'll move forward. Won the series, 2-1 on the year. I'm going to start off by saying Buck Farmer, okay? Buck Farmer, when everybody was laughing at me last year, like, I don't know, Trace. You probably shouldn't trade Buck Farmer. He's one of the best arms we got. I'm like, I don't know. I see some rumors on the trade mill that this guy's got some value. I don't know. I might want to give him up now while he's got a little bit of value. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know. Guy might be lurking in AAA here soon. And I get it. He doesn't have options. But guess what, Nick? When you put a guy through the, when you call it DFA, they got to go through waivers. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think he's going to clear it with flying colors. We'll see. Are you going to be a Farmer stan, by the way, before we get into Jonathan India?
Buck Farmer was bad. TJ Anton was worse, though. Look, I'll just come out. We'll come out flying, I guess, today. You got to send TJ Anton down to AAA. You got to call up Tony Santion. Let's get him to Philly tomorrow.
Which is a wild turn of events, because if you'd asked me towards the end of last year, is Santillan going to ever see a Reds uniform again? My answer would have been a very quick no. Which is a good segue into Jonathan India, because we sent probably half the season here, half the games. His name would get brought up half the time. And inevitably, half the time it got brought up, then half of that time. So now, if you're keeping up with the math, we're talking a quarter of the time. A quarter of the time, Jonathan India would be talked about with the trade rumor, if you want to call it that. I'll be the first to admit, I think sometimes you can get ahead of yourselves when it comes to having big league talent on your team and being able to get yourself in a position where a headspace where you're ready to move on, or you're saying, okay, we got this prospect coming up. I love Matt McClain. Like, Matt McClain, honestly, is probably my favorite of the young core. I thought he's probably going to be the best consistent player we had. But at this point, again, I'm not hoping for this, but it's safe to say that there's some type of injury-prone concern I have, right? You have the oblique, then you kind of have then you have the shoulder now, and all of a sudden it just spirals out of control, and last season he missed time. So here's where we are. For those that say that Jonathan India should have been traded no matter what last season, we were wrong, okay? And I don't know if we ever said he should have been traded no matter what, but I'm just glad that they didn't get a couple AA prospects out of it, because the Reds would be in a world of hurt right now without him. And I got to say, he's been a gamer since he's been here. And I think from a whether he's changed his attitude or whether it's just the opportunity presented itself where he has to play second base from time to time, I'm just thankful that he's on our team. Put it that way. I wanted to get out in front of that and say that before people wanted to, you know, suggest all year long that we're not Jonathan India guys. I mean, I'm not saying that you are. You do stray him every so often about his defense at second base. However, might be rightfully so. But my point is, I'm on the Jonathan India bandwagon, and I'm going to stay there. I'm going to stay there no matter what, unless he plays second base a lot.
Unless he plays second base and Matt McClain's an option, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's about where I'd be at. No, Jonathan India deserves a ton of credit. He came to camp with a positive attitude, at least publicly.
Yep.
It would have been really easy for Jonathan India to have kind of, you know, not been like that terrible attitude, but kind of, you know, thrown a few little strays here and there and whatnot.
Correct.
He had an incredible attitude. It wasn't this whole, oh, well, now you need to be at second base thing after you play me all spring. He took the opportunity. He's run with it. He's had quality at bats. So far, he's been absolutely fine in the field, which, to his credit, didn't play that hardly at all throughout the entire spring. I'm not going to back down. I do think it will catch up with the Reds if he plays second base forever. But right now, I guess the Reds don't really have a whole lot of options at this point. But I'm happy that Jonathan India's in the lineup. He had an incredible series against the Nats. And right now, the Reds absolutely need him. So, yeah, let's roll.
I just want to say this. You know, I do believe that some things happen for a reason, right? I cracked open no free ads at Banquet of Beers. And inside the cap, I didn't know, but they have inspirational messages. And it just so happened that when we're talking about Jonathan India, I look down at my cap. Now, this is going to be hard. I don't know if you're going to be able to see this. It says, what you're made of matters. And that's what Jonathan India is made of. He's made of leadership qualities, and he could have played the sour grape card. He really could have. He could have come into camp and been like, nah, you know, I'm an outfielder. I don't think that I've been working on outfield the whole year. I'm not really concerned about playing second base. And then he could have kind of like been just snarky about it the entire time. He's not been that. He's been a team guy. He's been all class. I give him all the credit in the world. I really do. And by God, what an at bat he had in the ninth inning. And he battled on some good pitches, fouled him off, and laced the double down the left field line. Ultimately led to the opportunities that the other guys got, and they capitalized as well. But no Jonathan India, there's no Will Benson home run, and clearly there's no CES walk-off, and there's no win. So shout out again to Jonathan India. Anything else to add with the big leader, the captain?
Well, in that spot, it just would have been so easy to just say, all right, well, it's not our day. Everything's gone against us, especially after that ground ball. Like, it was like, oh, yes, he's going to get on base. Will Benson's going to get a chance. And then the ball just somehow just went the other way. Like, it was wild ground ball. Looked for sure like it was going to be an easy hit. Rez were going to finally catch a break after not catching a lot of breaks all day. But Jonathan had a hell of an at-bat and gave Will Benson a chance. And you give Will Benson a chance, and yes, this guy keeps making it happen.
Will Benson, we did the pregame show, right? We did the show right before opening day, and we all went around the room and we're like, who's got the highest WAR? And I was just trying to think of what are some guys that are going to steal some bags? Maybe they can make some plays, obviously from an outfield perspective or wherever they play defensively, and they could either be neutral and or plus there, and then maybe they just explode offensively. And I just subconsciously, I said Will Benson. And then all of a sudden, like after the show is over, I think I looked over at you and I was like, did I say Will Benson was going to have the highest WAR on this team? And then even today, my son asked me, he's like, who's the best player on the Reds? And I honestly had to sit there like for a while. Like, I don't know if you can make the case three or four guys are the best player on the Reds, genuinely. And Will Benson at this point is a part of that conversation. And what's crazy about all that is that last year at this time, everybody was begging for him to get shipped away. I mean, he looked lost. He looked lost. But again, I don't want to overreact. We're three games in. But we are in a position now where I'm starting to believe that Will Benson's actually a dude. Like he's a good player. Great player is probably a little absurd to say, but he's a good player. And we'll see where it ultimately ends up. But he looked like he wanted to be in that moment today. Then when he got that at bat.
Yeah, I mean he just absolutely thrives in those moments. Wants to be there. Wants to be up at the plate. I don't know what the ceiling is for Will Benson. It feels like it just keeps creeping up and up and up and up. He so far he's played a pretty solid center field defense. I mean he hasn't had I don't think a whole lot of challenging plays, but he's looked comfortable. I haven't saw him like getting bad breaks on balls or anything like that. So if he can play center field and play at a decent level at Great American Ballpark, that in itself raises his ceiling. Now, obviously, we're hoping TJ Friedl comes back and moves him to the corner, but just having that ability really raises him to a level. Because I didn't think he had it in him. I thought this was going to be rough because he had some times last year where he looked pretty rough in the corners, but you know, three games, you don't want to make a huge, huge deal about it, but he's looked really good out there so far.
He has. I mean, it's a wild thing. This team's crazy, man. I mean, I don't know. When he asked me that question, I started thinking about who the best player was. Inevitably, after about a full 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes of thinking, I started to think, man, is this team good? Is this team like good? If I have to sit here and think this hard about who our best player is, is this a good team? Or am I biased? I'm always concerned about the blinders that I might have on when it comes to this club. But I don't know. Maybe they got a lot of good players. They don't have any great players maybe yet, but they have a lot of good players. And hopefully at some point that will all catch itself up. And maybe Ellie will become great. Spencer Steer's a guy that, again, he continues to be somebody that looks comfortable at the plate. You know, let's face it too. This game, there was some situations where it didn't go the Reds' way, right? I mean, Ellie basically hits a triple after Fraley gets himself caught on the base pass because he's trying to time up the pitch clock situation there, which I don't hate. I mean, if we're going to be aggressive, we talked about this last year. If we're going to be aggressive, those things are going to happen, but it does burn a little bit when guy gets caught stealing. Next thing you know, you get basically a triple, and then all of a sudden Steer laces one up the middle, and you're starting to think, man, we should have had a couple extra runs here. But yeah, shout out to Will Benson. And then obviously that led to CES. Slow start, fair to say, slow start. But that's what CES brings. He's got just pure raw power. I mean, the kid is going to run. I think, what's the basement floor? If CES gets a full season and is healthy, I may look like an idiot for saying this, but I think his basement floor is like 30 home runs, man.
I was going to say 25, so I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Well, with CES, look, when he started 0 for 12 at the beginning of the season, it feels monumental. It feels like it's such a huge deal. If this happens in June, it's not even a footnote. It's probably not even on the broadcasters get their sheets before the game. Probably not even, they don't even call that a really that big of a slump. It's three games, right? Yep. But when it's the first three games and you look up and it says 0-0-0 in every single category, it feels monumental. But no, I think CES is absolutely the one guy that at the end of the year I feel most confident is going to be an above average hitter. Now, the question is he going to be a guy that has like a 110 OPS plus, or is he going to be a guy that has a 130, 140 OPS plus? That's kind of where I'm waiting to see, but he's going to run into a lot of home runs this year, especially in that ballpark. I'm excited. I'm excited for him. Just like that had to feel really good, man. You start 0 for 12, and then you have a walk-off home run, and it literally everything is washed away in an instant. It's funny how the game of baseball, especially early in the year, the margin between success and failure is really razor thin.
Incredibly thin. The one thing though about OPS plus, some folks that might not that are casuals might not understand what that stat genuinely is. OPS plus is essentially, for the layman's terms, it takes the averages throughout Major League Baseball. That is your baseline, which is 100. So anything over 100, you're an above average hitter in Major League Baseball. Anything below 100, you'd be a below average hitter. So the difference between 110 and 130 is basically 20% better than the rest of whatever 110 would be. So that's sizable. That's a pretty considerable amount. We'll see ultimately where CES ends up, where he lands. I just, again, you let the chips fall where they may. You let the young guys figure it out, if you want to call it that. I'm not going to overreact with any of these young guys too quickly, but CES... has to hopefully get him going a little bit here, and he puts down some of that stress, because let's face it, CES and Will Benson ish kind of are in the same spot, right? Will Benson finally got his first real opportunity on a big league club last season on opening day. Pressed, got sent down to the minor leagues again, whatever you want to call it. Maybe he was reset, came back up and was great. I was hoping that wasn't going to happen to CES, is what I'm getting at. So we shall find out. Moving forward, we have more, obviously, to get to. Game Time. For those that don't know, Game Time is a national company that sells tickets. They took a chance on us small guys. I think, genuinely, I've said this time and time again, we're the smallest company that they've ever worked with. And you can help support us by downloading the Game Time app and using the code CINCY, that's C-I-N-C-Y, on your very first purchase. You get $20 off. And I'll be honest, I've used the app like three or four times, Nick. And quite honestly, like the last month, I've used it three or four times. And you can click all-in pricing right there at the top, so you don't have to guess about what the fees are at the end. And it shows you exactly what your seat looks like when you click on the seat. And then it delivers your tickets instantaneously. I think I had to wait like maybe 4 or 5 minutes before it got delivered in the ballpark app. And off I was. So again, Game Time. Download it. Use the code CINCY. That's C-I-N-C-Y. You get $20 off your first purchase, and you also are helping us out. Nick Martinez, I put a tweet out, Nick. I'm sure you've seen it. I think, and again, I'm predicating all of this off the fact that I think that David Bell wanted Nick Martinez to be in the bullpen. If it was a perfect world, and the Reds wanted it to go exactly how they wanted it to go from the very start, Nick Martinez is one of their more reliable bullpen arms. Instead, you get a couple injuries. You get in a spot where you want to make sure that you have somebody that you can trust in the starting rotation, so they stick Nick Martinez in there. Unless Andrew Abbott lays an egg, I think that when Lodolo comes back, which I know I don't want to spoil it, we'll get to him in a second, they're going to obviously have to shift somebody out. I think they'll just move Nick Martinez to the bullpen. Largely because, I'm not saying he fully deserves he has to go to the bullpen, but unless he's going to be lights out, I think that they'd rather make the easy decision to move him to the bullpen. And I think from a depth perspective, that would be the smart move instead of sending Andrew Abbott down especially when you add in Brandon Williamson coming back at some point. Starting pitching depth is great. Bullpen, maybe not as much. Your thoughts on Nick Martinez?
Yeah, I thought Martinez was fine. I mean, I think that's kind of what you probably expect out of Nick Martinez, is a guy that's going to, you know, hopefully go 5-6 innings, is going to keep you in the game. That's what he did today. The thing I like about Martinez is he doesn't walk guys. He throws strikes. He attacks hitters. He also earned it because he had a great spring, an incredible spring. He looked as – it was the best pitcher this spring among anyone that was competing for a starting spot. So he earned this opportunity. You know, the other thing you want to consider here is, you know, the whole long-term future with Nick Martinez. So it's all really going to come down to, how does Andrew Abbott pitch? Andrew Abbott's going to get 2 starts. If Andrew Abbott pitches well, then yeah, you move Nick Martinez to the bullpen. It's easy said and done, but I'm not convinced Andrew Abbott's going to come out and shove. So if Andrew Abbott comes out, and it's a really tough start for him going up against the Phillies, got some really good right-handed bats in that lineup, so it's not easy. But if Andrew Abbott gets beat around, I'm not hesitating to send Andrew Abbott down to AAA and keep Nick Martinez in the starting rotation. And it should be noted, Nick Martinez has better projection numbers than Andrew Abbott does this year. Nick Martinez actually has better projection numbers than a lot of the pitchers in the rotation. Now, he's probably getting a little bit of a boost because I know they factor some of this in, but how well they're able to factor it in, I don't really know the answer to, but a lot of his innings in the past have come as a reliever, so it's a little easier to, you know, maintain good numbers exactly. As a reliever over a long term. But the projection numbers like Nick Martinez better. So if Andrew Abbott comes out, pitches bad the next 2 times, I'm sticking with Nick Martinez because I feel confident that he's going to keep you in games and he's going to be a major league starter. But Andrew Abbott, I think, definitely probably has a higher ceiling at the same time as well. And Nick Martinez can help your bullpen.
Yeah, I think it's an easier solution at the end of the day. And it's nothing against Nick Martinez being able to be a starter. It's more or less, where do you need help? And I think the same reason as to why you say, hey, guys are going to get sent down because they have options, is not because they're the worst pitcher on the staff. It's because they have options. If Buck Farmer had options, guess what? Buck Farmer gets sent down. Buck Farmer doesn't have options, so you start to try to hold on to those guys maybe a little bit longer than you normally would. Why do you cut Jose Barrero? Why do you DFA him? Well, it's because he doesn't have options anymore. That same rationale, that same reason is why I think Nick Martinez finds himself in the bullpen. At some point, Andrew Abbott, you got to give him a longer leash maybe than I think 1 or maybe even 2 starts. Again, I get maybe you could say he hasn't looked great in the spring, but I'm still battling this idea of how much value are we putting in the spring anyways. David Bell said straight to my face at the Reds Caravan that he doesn't think that spring training stats matter at all. That was his words, not mine. So I lean to start to believe him in that area, but my only point to that is Brandon Williams is going to be back at some point too, and I'd also argue not a terrible idea to have 2 lefties with 3 righties in your rotation in general in case you run into a team that has heavy platoon type situations, so you can hopefully find them in an advantageous lineup for yourself if they are heavily weighted one way or the other with lefty versus righty splits. So we shall find out what they do with Nick Martinez. And I'd also say Nick Martinez today showed maybe why kind of he's a reliever. I'm not saying he was overly horrendous, but he started getting himself into trouble once he got second and definitely 3rd time through the lineup there. And obviously when you're in the bullpen, you don't really deal with that a whole lot. Speaking of the bullpen, I don't know what to make of this. We did this last year, so this is where I'm going to be hesitant. Try to learn from I don't think I made the mistake last year, but I'm going to learn from others' mistakes is what the parenting thing is. Last year at this time, I remember vividly there were people for the next 2 to 3 weeks that were on X.com. At that time, it might have been Twitter. To be fair to Twitter, RIP. On the Bluebird app, I remember there even being big media personalities screaming and yelling as to why the only reason that this Reds franchise can't compete is because they don't want to go out and spend money on a bullpen, this bullpen, this bullpen. End of the year, bullpen, arguably one of the best strengths of this team. So I'm trying not to go there, Nick, but the bullpen is a concern. How concerned are you?
Sorry, I was just watching Max Muncy rip the Cardinals' hearts out.
What'd he do? What'd he do? Share.
Two-run home run, 5-4 Dodgers.
Tough for them.
Yeah, again, this is going to come across really callous. I just think at this point, TJ Antone's more of a nice story than a good option as a reliever. Yeah. I'm not saying he can't be a good reliever again, but I just think he came back and he didn't pitch a whole lot in the minors after being out so long. He was like okay at the end of last year, didn't wow you. Mm-hmm. He was not that great in spring, but still made his way on the roster. I just think you need to send him down to AAA. You need to let him work through whatever he's going through right now. And you have a guy right now in Tony Santion that absolutely deserves a chance to pitch. He was the best pitcher in spring. He looked dominant. He struck out 3 batters in his first outing at AAA. Now, he did give up a home run, but he did strike out 3 batters and actually looked really, really good until that one mistake pitch that he made. But I just think Tony Santion's a better option right now, and you need to get him up. You need to get one of Buck Farmer or TJ Antone. You do the easy choice because TJ Antone has options. Buck Farmer doesn't. It's good to keep pitchers around for a very, very long season so we don't get into what the Reds were doing in September again last year.
It's more than fair. Let's do this. Let's do Reds MILB. We'll talk a little bit more here on a late night edition of Chatterbox Reds.
The Bats lost 6-4 today, but the story was Nick Lodolo looked really good. And this one, 5 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 run. Did walk 3, but struck out 8. Gave up a home run. Didn't allow a hit until the 4th inning. Gave up the home run in the 5th inning of work. And only allowed a total of 3 hard hit balls, according to StatCast on the afternoon. Fastball was averaging 93.6. He was at 93.2 last year, so right about where you'd hope he was at. So Nick Lodolo is great. Everyone that said anything about Nick Lodolo from spring, from his side sessions, it says he looks as good as he's ever looked. Now, we'll wait and see, but man, he raises the ceiling of this team, and it's a big if he can come back and stay healthy. Sam Moll made his second rehab appearance. Yep, 2 hits and a run. Didn't walk anyone. He struggled a lot more with his command in the first outing, so good to at least see his command better in this one. Not a whole lot offensively in this one. Reese Hines was 1-for-4. Heard a Bees did get on base and stole a base. But really not a whole lot. Mike Ford, 0-for-4. He started 0-for-8 with the bats, but he did have 2 hard hit balls, at least in this one. The Phillies are a tough team in that ballpark, especially to play. So you definitely are glad that you won 2 of 3 going into there as opposed to losing 2 of 3. And, you know, I don't want to say get one win. I mean, I want to be greedy and get 2, but I think if you just get 1 win, at least you keep it moving. Hopefully the Reds could find a way to get 2, and they will be facing, you know, the back end of the Phillies rotation, just like the Reds back end for the first 2 games. And then a really great pitching matchup on Wednesday afternoon, Frankie Montas up against Zach Wheeler.
You know, at some point we'll find out soon, where our confidence lies, but I'd venture to say that how many teams or how many fan bases maybe is the more appropriate term to use here. Look, and they see that they have to play the Reds, and they think the same way that we think when you see the Phillies, or, you know, maybe not the Braves or the Dodgers per se, but other quality teams, add in the Diamondbacks, add in the Giants, those types of teams in the National League. I'd venture to say more than we'd think, or more than maybe many would expect. The Reds, at this point, you know, I don't want to say you're taking a backseat to nobody, but you're not taking a backseat to as many teams as maybe we have in the past. So I'm wishful thinking. I think that, you know, you go in, you win another series in Philadelphia, you keep the thing rolling, and we'll find out ultimately where this team lies when it comes to May, because May is a gauntlet. We talked about time and time again, stack these wins up so you got a little bit of a cushion in May. And but we did this last year, Nick, and I don't know how much of it really ultimately matters, because last year we're talking about how easy the schedule was down the stretch, and they kind of got through a tough portion of their schedule, and they won a lot of games. You get down to the easy part of your schedule, or what's supposed to be easy, and they don't win as many. So it's baseball. You never know. We'll find out. But I was going to say, the biggest news today, yes, it's the win, but damn close is Nick Lodolo. damn close as Nick Lodolo, because Sam LaCure said the other day that he had heard that he had heard the rumors that they think Nick Lodolo looks as good as he's ever looked. That was E-V-E-R, ever. You can Google it if you'd like to figure out what that means, but that means there's no time in the history of Nick Lodolo throwing the baseball has he ever been better than what he is right now. If you believe that, great. Maybe you don't believe it. I don't know. But if that is that has even a semblance of truth, Nick, that is the... Can I say it? I'll say it. That would be the biggest news of the day for me. I know we got a win. I know that counts as a big win. But Nick Lodolo being as good as he's ever been will add up. I can guarantee you that will add up to being more than one win throughout the season. The fact that we get both of those things on the same day, some would say, is holy.
Yeah. And Nick Lodolo is the Reds' best pitcher right now. I fully believe that. So if you get him healthy, I mean, you're throwing him into a rotation that I already feel pretty good about. So, yeah, I just, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We've heard that from other people. I think the Cowboy said the best he's ever looked. What are those sometimes, those kind of things? Who said that first? Does it just start kind of spinning around right. Everyone that's in the organization and going that way? But I also saw Nick Lodolo pitch the last day we were in Arizona. He looked great. Up until the last inning, kind of the same way today. He was great up until the last inning, gave up a home run. So I think there's good reason why he's not pitching right now. I think they're trying to, you know, get him a little bit deeper to the game, get him more effective deeper into the game. But
no doubt.
I love Nick Lodolo, and when you lay your head down at night on the pillow, say a prayer this guy can stay healthy, because you're right. Like, not just one win. I mean, this is a guy that takes you from a team that's a playoff contender to a team that can make do damage in the playoffs.
Correct. Especially when you add in the opportunity. If we just don't know where we're at yet. We don't know where we're at yet, but it is exciting to think about the idea of Montas, Green, Lodolo, and then some combination thereof of someone overachieving. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Martinez. I know he's already in the rotation, but some semblance of overachievement between the three remaining guys of Abbott, Williamson, and Ashcraft. If you can get one overachiever, you get the rest of those other three guys just to be what you hope they're, you know, let's just say they're average as to what they're supposed to be. You got a pretty damn good starting rotation, a pretty damn good one. And health obviously is always a concern, but we shall find out what the future holds when it comes to that.
All right, forgot to mention this during the show when we were running through what happened at AAA Louisville. Shout out to Reds fan Brandon for posting about this. Yasver Zuleta, the Reds' recent waiver claim, struck out all three batters in his Louisville Bats debut and topped out at 98.6 miles per hour. Zuleta, very talented pitcher, definitely someone to keep your eyes on down at AAA. All right, well, let's talk about this upcoming series starting on Monday. Reds and the Phillies. Reds 2-1. Phillies coming in 1-2. Pitching matchups on Monday. First game is 6:40 p.m. Andrew Abbott against Christopher Sanchez. More on that later. Tuesday, also at 6:40, will be Graham Ashcraft against Spencer Turnbull. And then Wednesday, 1:05 p.m., it'll be Frankie Montas going up against Zach Wheeler. The Phillies, they are, as mentioned, 1-2. They were blasted by the Braves the first two games of the season. Lost 9-3 and then 12-4, but they did win the series finale 5-4 on Sunday. In that first game, the Phillies bullpen gave up 9 runs after Zach Wheeler left the game. He had actually thrown 6 shutout innings. Game 2, Aaron Nola got lit up. He gave up 12 hits and 7 earned runs in his 4 1/3 innings pitch. But then on Sunday, the Phillies rallied after falling behind 3-1 to salvage that series finale. Bryce Harper did not play in the series finale after he tumbled headfirst into the dugout going for a ball on Saturday. Phillies manager Rob Thompson said that he's fine, and that was just a day off. Harper had also been limited in the spring due to some back issues. Phillies, of course, coming off a 90-72 season. They lost in Game 7 of the NLCS to the Diamondbacks. Year before that, the Phillies were playing in the World Series, so they've had quite a bit of success. Phillies, this is a team that they are completely in win-now mode. Phillies' common theme in spring training for them was the window is now. They only have 2 years left where they'll have guys like Bryce Harper, Zach Wheeler, Trey Turner, Aaron Nola, Real Muto, Schwarber, Castellanos, and Ranger Suarez all playing together. So they definitely have a lot at stake now. But unfortunately for the Phillies, the Pecota projections only has them projected to finish the season 82-80 and giving them just a 39% chance of reaching the postseason despite all of their efforts. Now, again, it's still early, and this is definitely a talented team, but that division, very, very difficult. Not a whole lot went on with the Phillies this offseason. They did lose Rhys Hoskins, who they lost for the entire year last year with injury. Also lost Craig Kimbrell. Tried to remake their bullpen, brought in a couple good arms, but really their biggest thing this offseason was they re-signed Aaron Nola to that seven-year, $172 million contract. Not a whole lot of injuries really bugging the Phillies so far. They're overall healthy. Tejon Walker is really the only pitcher out for them. Last year, Reds went 3-4 against the Phillies. And just like this year, all seven games were played before April 16th last year. So the Reds really didn't, a lot of the Reds' current players didn't even face the Phillies last year when they played each other. Final two games last season were really wild. Reds won 13-0 and then turned around and lost 14-3 in the last game of the season series. Reds are just 21-43 all time at Citizens Bank Park. All right, let's talk a little bit more about this pitching matchup here on Monday night, 6:40 p.m. start time on Bally Sports Ohio. For the Phillies, it'll be their lefty, Christopher Sanchez. He is coming off a fantastic year a season ago, kind of came out of nowhere. In 18 starts, he had a 3.44 ERA. Peripheral numbers look good as well, had a FIP under 4. This was a guy that was originally signed by the Rays back in 2014, international free agent out of the Dominican Republic. He was a roster crunch in Tampa that led him to the Phillies. He was traded as the Rays needed to find room on their 40-man roster. With the Phillies, he started out, he was used mostly as a reliever and then a spot starter. He was only ranked as the Phillies' number 26 prospect the last time that he was on the ratings. But then last season, he just ended up winning the number 5 starter out of camp and ran with it. Had an incredible year. Last year, he ranked in the 97th percentile in chase rate, 98th percentile in walk rate, and the 95th percentile in ground ball rate. He relies on 3 pitches, a 92-mile-an-hour sinker, 82-mile-an-hour changeup, and an 83-mile-an-hour slider. In the spring, he had a tough spring, though, 8.59 ERA in 3 starts, actually gave up 15 hits in 17 and a third innings. Only has 1 career start against the Reds. That was back all the way in 2022. He threw 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, 2 home runs, but no walks and 7 strikeouts. Only 3 Reds on the active roster have faced Sanchez. Fairchild's 1-for-3 with a homer. Candelaria 1-for-3, and Jonathan India 1-for-3 as well. All right, Andrew Abbott for the Reds, coming off his incredible 2023 season where he, of course, had a 3.87 ERA. He had a tough spring, though, 7.88 ERA in 3 starts, gave up 14 hits in 8 innings. Abbott, of course, never faced the Phillies. As mentioned, the Reds didn't face the Phillies after the first couple weeks of the season last year. But Abbott, of course, you know, he had a tough end of the year last year. We kind of ran out of gas, didn't have the best spring. So Abbott certainly a guy that we're hoping can get it rolling once the season gets started here. And he's certainly a very, very talented pitcher. But this will be a big, big challenge going up against that Phillies lineup. Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Bryson Scott, Alec Boehm, Nick Castellanos, Brandon Marsh, and Johan Rojas. They also have Whit Merrifield and Edmundo Sosa sitting on their bench a lot of nights. So, tough lineup, good challenge here for Andrew Abbott. Well, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Chatterbox Reds. If you're not yet a subscriber or ever listen to this podcast, make sure you do that now. New episodes every morning recapping the Reds game from the night before. Also, if you leave us a 5-star review, I would really appreciate that. That does help us out. Tell a friend about Chatterbox Reds. Tell them about what we do. If you like this podcast, I tell them they might like it as well. But I do, before we get out of here, I have to give a quick shout out to Aaron. Aaron is the son of my buddy Michael. Michael texted me on Sunday saying happy Easter and wanted to tell me a really cool story. He said that they were driving and Aaron asked if, hey, Dad, can we put on Chatterbox Reds? And I tell you what, that was maybe the coolest story I've ever heard. Made me really, really just, you know, thankful for Aaron, you know, listening and enjoying our show. That's really what it's all about. So shout out to you, Aaron. I hope you continue to listen to Chatterbox Reds. Hopefully we can continue to do you proud. All right. Well, thanks as always for listening. Hope that you have a fantastic Monday and an even better week. Let's beat up on those Philadelphia Phillies. Go Reds.